Well, when I was 9 years old, in a quiet winter Saturday afternoon, heard some reports on the radio and the TV, it was before the internet, that at my local shopping centre, Strathfield Plaza, a rapid, unprovoked shooting and stabbing attack had occurred. In the span of 10 minutes, the perpetrator killed 7 innocent people and wounded 6 others before taking his own life. It was to be forever known as the Strathfield Massacre. My parents had been there that morning doing the usual Saturday morning shop, and it was just sort of this moment where the most ordinary and mundane place that I knew of, Strathfield Plaza, where we went to Franklin's every Thursday night for our weekly shop and went and got our groceries from, suddenly was filled with violence and shock. And so this peaceful environment rapidly changed in my experience. As a young kid, I was hesitant to go back. I didn't want to go to shopping anymore at Strathfield Plaza. It was sort of the catalyst for fear and nightmares. And there was just a sense of uneasiness that became my experience when I stepped into that space for the years that followed. And so certainly for our city this week, the terrorist attack at Bondi, have sort of had that same kind of jolt. This place that has associations of sunshine, leisure, friendship and joy has suddenly been invaded by violence, death and fear. And even if we weren't there, which most of us weren't, we can feel inside of us a disturbance that this kind of thing doesn't happen in a place like Sydney, and it can unsettle us. And perhaps it's a helpful reminder that peace is not as secure as we think it is, that perhaps wherever you walk in this world, the ground is less stable than it is firm. Now, it's not always just these sort of big events that cause chaos and unrest within us. Sometimes it's sort of a quiet disturbance that builds. And so today, as we think about the missing piece within us, we're acknowledging that everything in this world and everything within us isn't fine. We are acknowledging that the peace that we often rely on for our stability, the things that we think that are safe, predictable and trustworthy, are actually quite fragile. And so this morning we want to ground ourselves in where real peace is found, the kind of peace that can hold us. And so I guess the kind of chaos that happens within us, where our minds start racing, where the anxiety can build up, is often quite prevalent at this time of year. And maybe it's sort of that exhaustion of just sort of getting to the very end. And I wonder whether you finished work on Friday, but rather than sort of being able to transition to a period of rest, that your mind actually just shifted its focus of what you're anxious about. What are we cooking for Christmas? Have we got enough chairs to seat everyone? How are we going to juggle traveling between different families? Have I packed everything for my holidays? Have we actually planned things over January so we can relax? You see, the irony is that actually, even when we slow down physically, internally, we can speed right up. And so this peace within, this sort of peace of mind, it's pretty elusive, isn't it? Even when we tick one thing off our to-do list, there's another thing waiting to replace it immediately. And so this saying from Jesus and Paul to just not be anxious is not something that we should just receive and think, well, I just need to do better. I need to just be less anxious. Anxiety in and of itself is not an indictment on someone's character. It shouldn't be something that we're scared to admit. But nor is it a dead end in itself. Actually, our mind that is uneasy, that is constantly thinking, is like a spotlight, that our attention and our security is being found in something that is actually quite fragile. So being at peace is quite elusive in this chaotic world. And so even as we approach Christmas and we're hearing Christmas carols and perhaps even joining in with them about peace on earth, it's not going to be surprising if that feels quite disconnected from where your head is at. Our inner world is easily shaken. And so when we hear from Paul in our second reading there, Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, I wonder whether your reaction to that is, Paul, actually that feels a bit impossible. Have you actually lived a day in my life? Have you lived a day, Paul, in my head? But I think as Caleb took us through this a couple of months ago, Paul isn't being dismissive. He's actually being quite pastoral. You see, anxiety is certainly feels like an emotion, but it's always more than that. The things that we are anxious about are the things that we are claiming, the things that we are expecting to happen in the future, the things that perhaps are uncertain, but we so desperately want them to be certain. I don't know if you noticed in that song, I Cannot Tell, as we were singing that, I was reminded that actually that's one of the hardest things I find to actually say, that I don't know. But we were sort of being reminded as we sung that there is so much in this world and this life that we cannot tell how it's all going to work out. But the second refrain was, what I know, what God has revealed. There are anchors that hold us whilst we wrestle with a whole lot of things that we cannot explain. And so this morning, as we think about the missing piece within, we're going to be thinking about the peace that comes from God. And so the response to how we engage with the anxieties that are around us is, as Luke reminded us, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your requests to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder whether we think that prayer is actually quite passive. You know, in the discussions this week, people have been wanting action. And I wonder whether any request for prayer just seems like it's not quite enough. Like, no, surely we need to do more. But we are reminded of the power of speaking to the Creator and actually identifying where true power lies. You see, our prayers is not a denial of the chaos that surrounds us or the chaos that is within us, but it's an opportunity for us to direct that chaos towards the one who can deal with it. You see, as we come to God with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we can actually reorient our focus that we are not alone, that God is at work. And so the peace that is available is the peace of God. And so as we think about the Christmas message of Jesus arriving, the Prince of Peace, we are reminded that he didn't wait until the world was quiet. He's actually come into the chaos of this broken world. And peace is never just a formula that we need to plug in. It's not some particular technique that we need to learn. The Prince of Peace is a person. And so Paul knows the church in Philippi, that these are normal Christians wrestling with real pressures, relational tensions, and internal fears, just people like you and me. And it's to these people that he's giving this pathway. He's not denying that anxiety is a reality, but he's inviting us to minimize the power that it has over us when we lift our eyes to our Heavenly Father. And so the peace of God is a peace that transcends all understanding. You see, our worry is so often future-oriented, isn't it? And so often, if we sort of unpack what we're really worried about, it's us imagining a future where God is not present or He is not working for our good. But the peace of God surpasses understanding. That refrain, "I cannot tell," is to be something that we are familiar to say, that we don't need to pretend that we see everything clearly, but that we trust in the unchanging character of God. I don't know if you experienced the traffic chaos the other week when the WestConnex tunnel was blocked off for the day because they sort of found that it was sort of falling apart, or they were concerned that it was falling apart. And, you know, just sort of thinking about this whole spaghetti motorway that is underneath our city, I'm sure when the Premier of the day approved those roads to be built, he didn't ask the engineers to tell him exactly how each one was going to work and be safe. His trust was in the character and the competency of those who built it. And so for us with our anxieties, it's not like, "God, I need you to show me how this is all going to play out, how I'm going to be okay." But it's trusting that He is good and that He transcends all that we can comprehend or understand. And then the active work of God is that He will guard your hearts and your minds. Again, it's sort of this contrast. We're talking about the peace of God, but there's a military term here about His peace guarding our hearts and our minds. It's sort of the picture of soldiers protecting a city. And so as we grapple with our internal chaos, there's an encouragement here that the peace of Christ is willing to stand watch over your great vulnerability. It's not guarding you from any potential trouble, but a promise to guard you in the trouble. And again, God is not active, and He's not passive, even if we can't always see His work evident. It's this promise of the kind of protection that we ultimately need. God is wanting to stand guard over our very inner being. And so perhaps one of our greatest fears when we are aware of our vulnerability is that we are alone in it, that we have no support, that this thing could crush us. But as our hearts wander and our minds spiral out of control, the promise is that God is not absent. God does not leave us unprotected. Peace is possible. And not because God is going to make your life easier straight away, but because God is committed to standing near. And so as anxieties grow, His role elevates. Just like, you know, the security guards that are on Anzac Bridge and the Harbour Bridge sort of make sure that there's no terrorist thing whenever I sort of ride my bike over that. They're normally sort of on their phones or whatever. But if there's like more people coming, or if there's a heightened warning, you know, the phones are away. They're on. And so too with us, when the anxiety builds, God's guarding becomes more active. And so God is the missing piece within. So I guess how might we find this peace as our minds are racing out of control? Well, perhaps the first thing we need to do with our anxieties is to name them. David Powlison, a Christian counsellor, Jeremy's a big fan of him. He says, "You cannot shepherd a vague fear." And so as we're feeling like we're overwhelmed, perhaps the best first step is to get a piece of paper or your notes on your phone, whatever you do, and just start naming the things that are troubling you. That thing that is stealing your sleep, that thing that is weighing on your chest, that thing that is making you restless, that circumstance in your life that makes you feel fragile. You see, for some of us, the lack of peace comes because our home feels like a mess. The demands of our home life are constant. For others, it's your schedule. You feel like you're always rushing. There's always demands that you're always behind. For others, the chaos is relationships, unresolved conflict, strained dynamics, words that have been left unsaid. Chaos can infiltrate our work life. It can be about our financial circumstances, our physical health. Name the specifics of what is troubling you. By naming it, we can actually be more specific in our prayers as we surrender to God the thing that is sort of stealing His space in our life. Because that's what we're doing with our anxieties. We're giving lots of airtime to something that is not worthy of it. And so as we name things, we can then pray for them. Again, prayer is not passive. It's an act of surrender. It's saying, Lord, I cannot hold this. I cannot secure what seems so unstable, but what I will do is I'll bring it to you. Friends, so often when life is chaotic, we feel like the pathway to peace is just to control everything and everyone a little bit more, don't we? Because then we can sort of see how things are going to play out. We can breathe easy. Friends, that's not the pathway to peace. The pathway to peace is handing things to God in prayer. You see, an anxious response, it just pulls everything inward. This is all on me. But prayer opens everything upward. You see, when we pander to our anxieties, we just play situations over and over and over again. But when we offer them up in prayer, there's a situation to release them. There's a lightening that happens from this. Friends, we live in a broken world and there's so much hurt. There's so much uncertainty. But like the small child who sort of has their favourite safe toy or their little blanket that they hold around, like they squeeze it tight, and that's important at various stages of life, but it's really unhelpful as we grow to just hold everything in. We need to let things go, and I guess like that image from the other week is, as a small child, with an empty hand we hold it out to our Heavenly Father. And we trust that He is near, that the peace of God will guard our hearts. And so when Paul said about giving thanks, it's not giving thanks for the trials and the chaos, but it's A's actually thinking about the things that we are thankful for. What was the song? I cannot tell, but this I know. And it's not that the things that we know always just cover up the things that we don't, but the things that we know are amazing and they are worthy of thanksgiving. And actually, when we give thanks for all the good things that we have and that have been promised to us by God and fulfilled in Christ, then that thing that we were giving a lot of airtime to that is weighing us down so heavily, it becomes one among many. It's given its rightful spot. It's not removed. It's not this sense that, oh, if we're a follower of Jesus, then everything in life is amazing. But we hold the instability, the chaos, and the hurt within a broader picture. And so as we've named things and as we pray about them, we then are reminded by Jesus' words from John 14, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Friends, this is Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples before going to the cross. And this statement is amazing. He's not just giving his disciples some sort of framework for navigating life. He's giving himself. He's providing them the kind of security of knowing that God is there and that his spirit is present. And so as we live in a world that encourages us to change our circumstances, to create a life that's stress-free, to push in on those things that bring you joy, we are reminded that the missing piece that we all need is the very peace that is available through Jesus. So wherever you're at this morning as Christmas approaches, or whether you're sort of just limping towards the finish line and sort of going to collapse when you get there, or perhaps whether you're sort of thriving and you really enjoy all this festive occasion and family time, or perhaps if you're numb about events that have unfolded, perhaps you're full of joy about a new season that's going to be for you in the new year, the invitation for all of us is to remember that the Lord is near. That we can be free from the anxiety that so can consume us. And that we have this opportunity to pray and to surrender those things that have the potential to bring us down. And so in this process of naming those things that are burdening us, offering them up to the Lord, we have the potential to receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace of God that will guard our hearts and our minds. The very Prince of Peace. So this Christmas, wherever you're at, take great delight that God has come for you. He's drawn near. He's willing to stand guard. Peace is not on your shoulders, but peace is available through him. So receive him, hold him, and continue to offer up to him those things that are before you. Let's pray. Loving Father, we want to thank you so much that despite the chaos that so permeates this world, you're not absent. Father, we thank